Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming down here out of Lubbock, Texas. Amen. We're going to talk about the Watchman on the Wall, let you know that I'm still online. I've been off the line for a little while, but I'm still preaching the gospel, still working on the battlefield for my Lord. Amen. And trying to tell the world. I know I won't get to everybody, but those that listen, amen, can get the good news, the wonderful news, the extravagant news, the news that go above all NBC, ABC, and all the MSNBCs, and all the Instagram, and all the TikTok, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's coming back again to judge the world in righteousness. He's going to judge the world the way, amen, amen. Men don't want the judgment to occur, but it's going to happen. And just before we get into the word, just before we get into the lesson and the study, I want you to bow your heads. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord, thanking Lord for your goodness and your mercy in these days and times that we living in. We ask you to let the word be spoken in season and out of season, when they want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it. Lord, use my lips of clay that I might speak the word of truth, to let somebody know Jesus Christ still saves. He's the one that suffered and died on the Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, and he's coming back to get the church out of this chaos, out of this mess, out of sin and death and adversary, the devil, roaring like a lion. We ask you right now, use me the way you see fit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all right. Watchman on the Wall, still pushing, still pressing on to the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. We still see what's going on in the world today. It's beyond my imagination. I can't even comprehend what is going on. There's so much going on, I can't cover it all. But what I can cover, I can tell you, amen, it's telling us. It's telling the world. It's telling the postman. It's telling the mailman. It's telling the preachers. And it's telling the deacons. And it's telling the sister, man, you better get your heart right. You better come on out of sin. Amen. You better run to the cross, because the cross is the only medicine that can save a man's soul. Amen. Nothing can save your soul but the blood of Jesus Christ. For Christ died for our sins when we were yet sinners. He died that through his death, burial, and resurrection, we can have eternal life. The Bible says, I ain't talking about what I said. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We are here tonight. We're here this evening. We're here. Amen. I believe if I can stay on the internet, amen, I'll be here till Jesus Christ split the sky. A lot of people say, well, that's a long time. No, it ain't. No, it's not, my friend. Amen. It's shorter than you think it is. Amen. If you got short hair, amen, it's shorter than the hair on your head. Jesus Christ is getting ready to do something, because the world's in turmoil. I'm going to prove to you the world's in turmoil. Amen. Look in your Bibles. You get your Bibles out. Amen. We're going to look and show you what Apostle Paul said, amen, in Timothy, amen. Timothy says, amen. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he was telling him what would happen absolutely in the close of the age, the close of the day, the close of the last days, the last days. The last day just before Christ comes back. He said these words in 1 Timothy. Amen. In 1 Timothy, let's go to 2 Timothy. Amen. The third chapter, I know you read it before. Amen. We're going to read a little bit of it and see, does it cover what's going on the world today? Amen. And the third chapter, first verse, Apostle Paul came out and wrote and penned, he said to Timothy, this know also, that in the last day, perilous times shall come, difficult times, perplexity, confusion, and strife. Listen to what he said. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, and content men. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this is the sort they are, which crept into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. My God, listen to what the Apostle Paul is telling this some 2,000 years ago, what would happen in the last day. Man would come so corrupt and so abominable that God goes back and let us know through his son Jesus Christ. When he came here, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Well, what was the days of Noah look like? The days of Noah look like this. In the sixth chapter of Genesis, listen to what the fifth verse says. Sixth chapter, the fifth verse, it says, and God, Almighty, God Elohim, God Jehovah Jireh, God of gods and the Lord of lords, the one that created, made the heaven and earth, the one that is self-existent, didn't have no beginning, don't have no end. He's the Almighty God. He saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Imagination of the thought means beyond your imagination what man can do and what man is doing and what man is planning to do in these last days. The devil himself is planning to take control of the whole human race. He's planning to try to damn the whole human race through the world powers of the day, the world church, the world economical system, the world economy system. He wants to rule the world and condemn man to hell. And guess what? He's doing a job that I hate he's doing because the people allow him to do it, because the world today don't want to receive, don't want to receive the word of God, don't want to receive the love of God, don't want to receive nothing but their own ways that Satan is leading them, and he's leading them straight to hell. That's what Satan is leading the wicked today, straight to hell. And the wickedness in Noah's day was so great that every imagination of your mind can't even comprehend how man was living in that day, and they're doing the same thing today. You know what's imaginable? It's imaginable to see our women today abort babies and kill them. Literally kill them, literally cut them out their wombs and put them in trash bags and using them for scientific experiments. Women who are using the technology of cutting the babies out because they don't want them. And the world is saying, go ahead, kill them, slaughter them, take them to the slaughterhouse. We don't need no more people up on the earth. Satan said, I'll kill them all. And the world is saying, what can we do? What can we do to stop it? Well, there's no way that man can stop sin. The only one that can stop sin and eliminate sin and wash your soul free from sin, the only thing can do that is the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved without the blood of Christ. You've got to do what? You've got to repent and turn from your wickedness. Otherwise, you will perish with the other. The world is saying today, we got other ways to get to God. We got other avenues to get to God. And let me tell you, there's only one way you can get to God. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can get to the Father unless he come by me. Jesus Christ said, before I come back, the world is going to be in a turmoil. It's going to be in a confusion state. People going to be running to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. Men will become so knowledgeable and new technology that man will destroy himself. But yet and still, the world today is laughing. they're laughing, and they're saying, where is the promise of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? They've been promising that for so many years. All right, you want some scriptures? Amen. Let me go back into this wonderful book, the Bible, and let's see what the Apostle Peter said about the last day. Listen what he said in the book of Peter. Amen. Amen. Let me get it. Let me get it real quick for you, because this is serious. This is serious. This is so serious that the health board can't handle it. Amen. The doctors can't handle it. The only one that can handle this sin problem is Jesus Christ. He can set you free from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Listen to what Peter said. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there were be false teachers among them. This is 2 Peter. Excuse me for not giving you the verse in scripture. It says 2 Peter, that chapter right there. But there shall be false prophets. Oh, is there false prophets today? They ain't nothing but liars. They ain't nothing but telling a big fat lie. They're crooks. They're taking people's money. They're lying them, taking them straight to hell. And folks are following them. And here Peter's telling them, see, there shall be false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And now we got more false people, preachers and bishops, and everything that's telling a big fat lie. It's not prosperity. It's not how much money you got. It's not how many cars you got. It's not how many bank accounts you got. It's not how much business you got. How much education you got. False prophets are telling you that if you just be successful in your own way, that you can get to heaven. Well, you can't get to heaven by no way. By no way. There ain't a one soul. Listen to what I'm saying to you. There ain't one soul going to get to heaven without Christ. Nobody gets into heaven without Jesus Christ. Nobody. Not me, not my mama, not my daddy, not my sister, not my uncle. Nobody gets in to the kingdom of God unless they come in by the cross. For the Bible says, except the man repent, he shall likewise perish. You will die and go to hell if you reject the blood of Jesus Christ and don't humble yourself and come down at the foot of the cross and admit to God Almighty through his son Jesus Christ that you are a sinner and that you have sinned against him and that you are repenting of your sin and that you are sorry for your sin and that you want to turn from your wicked backwards way that you have tried to pick it out and quit trying to go to heaven off your denomination, off your mama or your daddy, because you're not going to get in. And I'll tell anybody that ye must be born again. Jesus stated that scripture to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot. Uh-oh, listen to what he says. He said, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You're not going. You've been baptized. Well, you can be baptized and still don't know Jesus Christ. Baptism don't save you. Baptism is a badge of identity that you are identifying yourself with Christ through his burial, death, and the resurrection. And when you go down in the water, the things that save you is not the water, but the faith and answering the good conscience through the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and humble yourself to a point where you can say, Lord, I am a sinner. Save my soul. Save my soul. Save my S-O-U-L. My soul is what is going to last forever. There's two places you can go. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell. Majority of the world, listen to what I'm saying. The majority of the world will go to hell. You hear what I said? I didn't say it really. The word of God says, the Bible says, broad is the way. Broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many go in thereat. For narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth into life, and very few will find it. Hell is going to be full of people who deliberately refuse to repent of their sin and turn from their wicked ways, and turn from their lying and cheating and backbiting and whoremongering. Turn from all the growth of sin and turn to Christ and live in righteousness through his blood of Jesus Christ. For without the blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You've got to have the blood of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit running through your veins in order for you to be caught up in the rapture. Uh-oh, the rapture. The rapture's on the verge, my friends. The rapture's almost here. The rapture's going to happen one day in a moment of a twinkling in the eye, when the dead in Christ will rise and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. It's time for the rapture because, number one, the Bible tells me in the book of Revelation that the 10th chapter, there's an angel that was dispatched from heaven. He came down and put one foot on the land and one on the sea, and we had a little book in his hand, and he held that book up towards heaven and said, the time that now shall be no longer, and that's referring to the tribulation period, because in the middle of the tribulation period, and we only have 3.5 years left before Christ returns to earth. Because let me tell you, when Jesus Christ comes, he's not coming to get a bunch of winos and adulterers and liars and prostitutes. He's not coming to get homosexuals. He's not coming to get he's not coming to get lesbians or anything that has not been regenerated. They are going to be left here, all the unbelievers who reject Jesus Christ. But you see, you got to understand this. I don't care how good you are, how sweet you are, how understanding you are. You can be the best person, or so-called the best person in the world. There's one thing you got to do when you get to heaven, and that is you got to repent of your sins. You got to repent of your unbelief, because the Bible says, whoever believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. And whoever believeth not shall be damned. So if you reject Jesus Christ, you're bringing damnation on your own soul. And when you bring damnation on your own soul, you're telling God Almighty that his son was worthless. His son don't mean nothing to me. His son didn't have to die for me. His son didn't really die, get up from the grave again. And you telling God, it's not necessary for me to accept your son, Jesus Christ, the one that came down through 42 generations, suffered and died on the cross, came through the tribe of Judah, stopped in Bethlehem of Judea, and got off and laid in a manger. And they tell me when it was laid in a manger, they said, this is the Son of God. This is the one that was promised to the Jewish nation. This is the one that's going to bring salvation to the world, not only to the Jew, but to the Gentiles. Because John, the one that wrote John, St. John said, for God so loved the world, yeah, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the Son of God. I'm talking about the lily of the valley. I'm talking about the bright and morning star. I'm talking about my bread when I'm hungry. I'm talking about my water when I'm thirsty. He's the one that came all the way down, and when he came down, he didn't come down just to do miracles. He didn't come down just to walk on the water. He didn't come down just to feed 5,000. He didn't come down. No. If he would have done all the miracles and then went on back to heaven, the whole world will go to hell. Good God Almighty. But one reason he came, because somebody had to die. Somebody had to suffer. Somebody had to be crucified. Somebody had to bear the cross on Calvary's mountain and hung up high and stretched wide. Somebody, and nobody could do it. Not even an angel, not even a cherubim, not even a seraphim, not even Abraham or Job. Nobody could do it. Not even Joseph, not even the 12 tribes. Anyone of the 12 tribes of Israel, they couldn't do it. The disciples couldn't do it. And so they tell me, I believe it. The whole heavens wept. The whole heavens wept. And John wept. John began to cry, because in the 5th chapter, it was declared that somebody opened the 7th seal. Let's get there. Somebody to open the 7th seal. The 7 seals of Revelation. They wanted somebody to open the 7 seals. And look what it says.
Look what it says. He said, I saw in the 5th chapter of Revelation, he says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw strong angels proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And guess what? Listen to this. Listen to this, my friends. Listen to this, postman. Listen to this, preachers. Listen to this, the bishop and the pope and the cardinals. Listen to this. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about there was not a man on the planet. There was not a man in heaven. There was not a man inside the earth. There was not a man underneath the earth. There was nobody worthy to open the book because the whole creation fell into sin. And sin has no power over righteousness. Sin damns your soul. Sin makes you mean and cruel. Sin makes you kill and murder. Sin makes you become a whore mongrel. Sin makes you become a whore. Sin makes you become a drunkard. Sin makes you become a drug addict. Sin makes you become an unbeliever. Sin makes you so pride that you feel like you are invulnerable, that you feel like you can't fall. You feel like you can't go to hell, and you feel like God can't reject you. But God can reject you if you reject his son. If you reject his son, God can reject you. But if you accept his son, God has to receive you, because he said, I come to receive you. I come to die for you. And when he came to die, the Bible tells me they looked all over heaven to try to find a man. Let's see what the Bible says. And in the 4th verse of that Revelation, 5th verse, for a 4th verse, it says, and I wept because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. My Lord, there was no patriarch in the Bible, in the whole Bible, was worthy to look upon the book. There's no preacher today. There's no bishop today. There's no deacon today. There's nobody on the face of this earth with 7.1 billion people. There's not one person that can open or look and break the 7 seals. Nobody. Nobody. I mean nobody. No demon in hell. No diabolical demigod demon in hell could break and open the 7 seals. And John began to cry. He began to cry because there was nobody to open the book. And this is the revealing of the book of Revelation, to open up the book of Revelation to reveal the great I am. And the great I am is no other than who? Let's see who he is. Here's the great I am. He said, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Well, who is the lion that come up out of Judah? The only lion that I knew that come up out of Judah with thy garments on and brought salvation with his own arm. The only one that I know that became a suffering servant. The only one that I know, good God Almighty, that was born of a virgin Mary. The only one that I know that stayed on this earth for 33.5 years. The only one that I know, he said, I am my father of one. The only one that I know. The only one that I know. Not T.D. Jakes. not Osteen, none of these men, not even Bazaar. I can't do nothing because I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And if it wasn't for the grace of the loving God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I would be a candidate for hell because I was unworthy to even try to think of dying for myself and being resurrected myself and going back to heaven to work. I ain't got no heaven to, ain't got no heaven to go to. But there's a man that come from Galilee. Woo, the man that came to his own and his own received him not. But as many received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. And when you become the sons of God, you come to the Son of God by repenting of your sin and giving your life to Christ. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become a son of God. You become a prince. You become a king. You become a royal. You become a royal blood of Jesus Christ because it's his blood that makes you royal. It's his blood that heals you. It's blood that gives you victory. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. I got the victory this morning, this evening. I got the victory the rest of my life by the blood of Jesus Christ. And there was no blood, no blood, no blood, no blood above the blood of Jesus Christ because his blood was sinless. You hear what I said? I said his blood was sinless. It was sinless. No sin, no sin, no sin, no sin. But what happened? He became sin. He became sin. What is that, brother? He became sin. He became sin. He took your sin and my sin. And it was laid up on his body. His body absorbed every low-down, dirty, rotten, conniving, loose, living, killing, and murdering, and backbiting, and drugs. He died for every sin of mankind. It was nailed to the cross on him. And it was so awesome and so terrible and so out of my mind that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. If there's another way that I can go around the cross, please, Lord, let me go. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God had no other way. Get this now. Get this real good. God had no other way to redeem the human race other than giving up himself, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And God became man so that he could feel every part of man's sin, every part of man's failure, every part of man's loose living, every part of man's low-down, dirty stuff. He felt every bit of it. Every bit of it until the pressure of the sins of the world pressed down on his body and busted his blood vessel. That in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was bleeding blood that he broke his blood vessel. And yet still he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Don't destroy them. Don't destroy them, Father. God himself died through his son, Jesus Christ. What you say, preacher? I say God died for himself, for us, through Jesus Christ. What you say? I say God became man. God became man. Walk like a man, look like a man, talk like a man, did things like a man, was a carpenter. He was a man. He had veins. He had capillaries. He had a blood system that no other man on the planet or on the other side of the planet had. He had a sinless blood system. His blood was sinless. No sin in him. No sin could overthrow him. He was the one that God slain before the foundations of the world, that through that he could pay, listen to me, pay for the penalty of man's sin. Man's sin. He paid for every sin, white, black, yellow, green, whatever color you are. He paid for the sins of humanity. Now listen to what the Bible says for those who do not receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Listen what happens to them. Listen what the Bible says. Not what I say, not what I think, not my opinion, but what the Bible says. In the 21st chapter of Revelation, listen what it says. The 7th chapter says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Small S-O-N. Now, this is what's going to hell. These people are going to hell. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the non-believers, the atheists, the agnostics, all those that don't believe, they die not believing and not accepting the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The unbelieving and the abominable are those that have done abominable crimes. Homosexuality is abomination. Lesbianism is abomination. I said lesbian is abomination. Homosexuality is abomination. All these sins are abominable to God. God hates it. He hates the sin. He don't hate the person. You got incest. You got sodomite. You got people today around the world in different countries that having sex with animals, having sex with their own kin folks, having sex with any aspect they can think of is abominable to God. And murderers, those who kill and murder and low down and cutthroats and mass murders, murderers and whoremongrels, whorish men, whorish women, whoremongrels. This is what the Bible says. Listen to what it says. And sorcerers. Sorcerers, those are drug addicts, drug cartel, drug, pushing drugs. Sorcerers who use drugs to get their fantasy. And idolaters, those that worship everything and anything but God. And if you're not worshiping God, you're not worshiping nothing but idolatry. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it says, all liars. All, A-L-L. I can't put no more L's on it. It's all liars. We'll all lie. What is a liar? Who is a liar? Who is a liar? Let's see who's a liar. Let's see what the Bible says about a liar. Woo! Lord Jesus, listen what it says. In the book of Epistle St. John, 1 St. John, listen what it says. It's a liar. What is a liar? And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that this is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt continue with us. But they went out that they might be, what? Manifest. And that they were not all of us. But ye have the unction from the what? Holy One. And ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now, here you go to the 22nd verse. Who is a liar? to ask the question. Who is a liar? He that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Anybody on this planet that denied that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh is Antichrist. Those are Antichrists. Those are the ones that's going to follow the Antichrist. The Antichrist is already here. He's alive now. The false Christ is on this earth. He is full grown age. He's about 54 years old. And I can tell you exactly what country he's coming from and where he was born. He comes from Spain. His name is King Felipe. King Felipe. Check your YouTube. Check your Instagram. Check your TikTok. Check your programs and find out and let yourself know this man is alive and he's waiting right now to come on the scene because the world is such in a turmoil and people are looking for Biden to take them out. They're looking for these presidents to bring us out of this, but there ain't no president on the face of this earth is going to deliver America from what's going on now. It's going to take the Antichrist to come on the scene, and the American people are going to link up with the European common market and the New World Order, and they're going to believe this. Now, I say, listen, who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father, but he acknowledged the Son. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Why? Because if you know the Son, you know the Father. All both of them are one. Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one. The works that I do is not I that does it, but the Father that dwelleth in me. So what am I saying? I'm saying the liars, all unbelievers that deny that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh is Antichrist. 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 You say, well, who are the Antichrists? Well, let me give you some information. Information on the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? There are at least 6,000, listen to me, 6,000 different kinds of religion on the planet today. 6,000 different kinds of deities on the face of the earth right now. From 7.1 billion people on the planet, there are 6,000 different kinds of religion which is run by demonic demons, devils, Lucifer. Lucifer is the what? He is the chief angel that fell from heaven, and his name was Lucifer, and he became the devil. He runs the world now because he's the god of this age. He has taken over the earth for 6,000 years and ain't caused nothing but hell and hot waters. He don't cause wars, famines, all this stuff that's going on. God is bringing judgment up on America. He's bringing judgment up on the nations of the world. He's bringing judgment up on the whole planet. And he's trying to get the people to notice him, that he is God of gods and the Lord of lords. 6,000 religions, and none of them is qualified in God's eyesight to satisfy God Almighty. None of them. Not one. Not one. The only thing to satisfy God in your eyesight and in God's eyesight is that you accept his son, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood. That's the only way God can be pleased with you. God cannot be pleased with you with a church membership, or you belong to a certain church, or you belong to a certain a set, or you belong to a certain cult. God is not going to accept it. The only way he can accept your soul into the kingdom, you must come to him through the blood of Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that died for your sins, got up out the grave, and what? Went back to heaven, sitting on the right-hand side of the Father. Now, listen, here's a few religions that you might be familiar with, and I'm not condemning some of the Protestant religions, because some of the Protestant religions do hold the biblical truth, but everybody in the Protestant religion don't mean they saved. Amen. Because going to a church and going to a different denomination don't mean you saved. Going to church, a lot of people have been in church 40 years, don't know Jesus Christ. 50 years, don't know Jesus Christ. 60 years, don't know Jesus Christ. 80 years, don't know Jesus Christ. Ooh, don't know Jesus Christ. They have heard of him, but they never had a change. A change from death to life. And the only way you can receive life is through Christ. Listen up this year, these religions that we have now. We got atheism. Atheism is the no God theory. There is no such thing as a God. Well, the Bible's already classified you as a fool. You're a fool because the Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. All right, wait a minute. Let me get me some scriptures here, because I don't want nobody to be going around and think I'm making this stuff up. This is God's word. This is God's word through and through. No if, no end, or not about it. Let's see, 53rd chapter of Psalms. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looks down from heaven and up on the children of men to see if there be any that did understand and did seek God. So that's a fool. All right? You want more proof? Let's go to the 14th division of Psalms, or the 14th chapter of Psalms, and see what this psalmist say. Amen. Number 14. Amen. Amen. Number 14 says, the fool, there it is again. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good. The Lord looks down from heaven and the children of men and see if there be any that did understand and seek God. They all are going astray. They all together become filthy. Anybody that don't believe there's a God, they don't become filthy, rotten. Because there is a God, whether you like it or not. God was here before you got here, and when you're dead and gone, God still exists because he's eternal. He's a self-existent one. He had no beginning and no end. He can't go nowhere because he's everywhere. And if he try to go anywhere, there's nowhere for him to go because he's everywhere. He is self-existent, I told you. And so by that, who are you? You're made out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into Adam's nostrils, and man became a living soul. His life, your life is like a vapor. You're only here for 70 years. And after that, baby, you're ready to go to the grave. And let me tell you, the grave is waiting for you. And you don't have to worry about trying to get old, to live to get old, because young folks are dying like flies. Why? Because they say in their heart, they say in their mind that they don't have to answer to a true and living God, oh, omnipotent one, but you're going to have to answer anyway. So what? There's a religion called the atheist religion. The New Age movement. I'm just going to name them right now because I can't describe all of them. The New Age movement. The New Age movement. God ain't got nothing to do with it. The Buddha. You got Buddha religion. You got Judaism, which is the only religion that's mentioned in the Old Testament that was used as a type and shadow of a better sacrifice to come. And that was given to the Jews through Moses, and it took them about like 40 years to get through the wilderness and get to Mount Sinai, and God gave them the law and the ordinance of knowing how to handle the ordinance of Judaism, and that lasted about 3,000 years, but that was only a type and shadow. That's the only close religion that God instituted to the Jews to show them that the blood sacrifice of animals was a type and shadow of an ultimate blood sacrifice, and that would be only Jesus Christ. He was the ultimate sacrifice. So now we don't have to get goats and turtle doves and lambs. Why? Because Jesus Christ offered the ultimate sacrifice 2,000 years ago, not only for the Jew, but for the Gentiles too. So let me tell you, everybody's required to receive Christ on this planet. Everybody's required to receive Christ. If you don't receive him, let's see where you end up at. If you don't receive him, here's where you're going to end up at. It says the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, not Lake Michigan, not Lake Huron, not Lake Hudson, but a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The second death is the spiritual death. There's two deaths. The physical death, that means the body separates, the soul separates from the body. The spiritual death is separated from God. If you're separated from God now and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you die tonight or you die tomorrow or you have an accident and you never reconcile your soul back to Jesus Christ by the blood of Jesus Christ and you die in a lost state, separated from God, you will die and be separated from God forever because Jesus Christ is the only one that can reconcile man back to God through the cross. Oh, that cross. Oh, that wonderful cross. Oh, that wonderful shed blood that Jesus Christ gave. That was God's blood. God's blood is so holy, so righteous, nothing foul can stand before it. God is so holy that the moon and the stars is impure to his sight. God is so holy that he cannot tolerate sin but so long. And the world has been going under sin for the last 6,000 years and it got so polluted that it's almost unfit to live in. So where all the unbelievers go, where all the antichrists go, where all those that died, listen, all those that died without Jesus Christ in their life through the Holy Spirit, for the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, without Christ dying and shed his blood, there was no remission of sin. In other words, Christ died that we can be saved from sin. And men today said, the hell with it. I don't want to be saved. I care less about being redeemed. I care less about coming to Christ. I'm going to have my party. I'm going to do my stuff. I'm going to do everything I can to get the pleasures of living my own life. But if you die in that condition, you will burn in hell. Not because you're bad, not because you're good, not because you're all this, but because you deliberately told Jesus Christ, shove it. And that's what the world is doing today. They're telling Jesus Christ to shove it. Shove it where I can't see it. Take the cross out of the churches. Take the cross off the steeple. Take the cross out of my home. That's what the world is doing. Take this crucifixion and shove it. I don't need it. And yet still dying, going to hell, laughing about the crucifixion. They're ashamed of the crucifixion. They're ashamed to mention Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not ashamed to mention Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the only one that can save my soul. And I know if George E. Bizard have to be saved before he can get to heaven, I guarantee you God ain't got no loopholes for you. He ain't got none for me. He ain't got none for you. He ain't got none for your mama or your daddy or your sister or your dog and cat. You got to come to him, and you got to come to him in the repentant spirit. So what we got? We got these religions. We got Shintoism. We got Mormonism. Deny Christ. Unity. Deny Christ. Satanist church. Denies Christ. Taoism. Deny Christ. Christian Scientist denies Christ as the Son of God. Jehovah Witness denies Jesus Christ as the Son of Living God. The Islam, we got fashionism. We got some in the Catholic Church denied. They believe in going to the Pope. We got non-denom. We got the Church of God. We got Nazism. We got Armstrongism, we got voodoo, we got witchcraft, we got lesbianism, Islam, and incest, Sodomites. You got Confucianism and you got humanism. You got all these religions. The Baptist ain't going to save me. Presbyterian ain't going to save me. Huh? Methodist is not going to save me. Fashionism ain't going to save me. Jesus is the only one can save you, my friend. This is Watchman on the Wall. And it's no time for play. It's no time to say, well, I'm going to try to work my way in there. You can't work your way to heaven. Ain't no thing, such thing as work salvation. Salvation is by faith. Salvation is a gift of God. Salvation, Christ paid for your sins. He knew, God knew, everybody else knew. You can't die for your sins. Somebody had to die for you. And these religions don't put Christ first as the ultimate total way to receive salvation. They got somewhere other way. Receive it through this, receive it through that, but you can't go nowhere else and receive genuine, baptized, born-again believer, Holy Ghost, hammer-driving saint that loves the Lord and willing to give their life up for the Lord and willing to serve the Lord as much as they know how and to win to tell somebody about this glorious salvation that Christ has brought forth. So I read to you in the 21st chapter of what? Revelation. I'm going to read it again. But the fearful, scaredy cats, people are living in fear today, scared. They don't fear God, but they fear where they're going when they die. The unbelieving, the abominable, listen, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars that deny the crucifixion, the burial, death of Jesus Christ. We are living in the last days. We're living in the last church age. The last church age that I know that's in the book of Revelation is the church of Laodicea. And Jesus Christ describes this church. And he tells this church this one thing about you. You neither hot or you neither cold. You're lukewarm. And since you're lukewarm, I'm going to gurgitate you out of my mouth. Why? Because you're a hypocrite. You're born hypocrite. You're pretending that you know Christ but live like the devil. You're pretending that you live like Christ, but you got a whole lot of worldly love in you. You love the world. And if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You can't love the world and God too. You can't love money and God at the same time. Either you love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. So let me tell you something. This last church age falls into the mega churches. These large churches where preachers get up and preach, and they preach theory. They preach motivation speeches, and they motivate your spirit until you think you were ready to go to heaven. But motivation ain't never saved nobody. Ooh, it takes to what? Oh, you know what I'm getting ready to say. It takes nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Some churches now don't even sing out the hymn book, don't even sing blood songs no more. They don't sing nothing about the blood. And the Bible says nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation that can wash you white in the snow. Nothing but the blood. It's going to take more than Tide, Clorox. It's going to take more than Cheer. It's going to take more than all the Clorox you can get to cleanse your soul, because nothing can cleanse your soul but the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's God's plan to redeem man back to God. Listen to what that Revelation says in the last church age. We in the last church age. Prove it to you. Second chapter, or the third chapter. The third chapter of the book of Revelation. Listen to what it says very closely. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says amen. The faithful and the true witnesses, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That means spit or vomit. And if you half-hearted, if you go on and trying to live from a hypocrite, you are lukewarm, and Jesus Christ said, I'm going to vomit you up. I'm going to throw up your lifestyle that you're living. You have never been regenerated. You have never accepted me as your Lord and Savior. You have never repented of your sin, and you are trying to claim that you know me and you don't know me. Because in the time of the judgment of the nation, the Lord says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. But the ones that did the iniquity are going to say, didn't we do miracles? Didn't we call your name? Didn't we do all these great things? And Jesus is going to look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you, meaning I ain't never had no relationship with you. You never accepted me, and you never repented of your sin, and you never confessed me before my Father. And so now you playing a hypocrite, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Woo! Because thou says, I am rich. Now, here we go. And increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Five things that describe a lost soul. This soul here is lost. It's lost because it's wretched. It's lost because the soul is miserable. It's lost because it's poor, no spirit. It's lost because it's blind, don't know nothing about the cross, have never experienced the cross, have never experienced the power of God in their life, never have said, I've been changed. Never have they come out of darkness to walk in the marvelous light. They're blind. They're blind as a bat. They're running to hell and don't even know it. They give their tithes, they go to church, they dress well, they do all that stuff, but they're blind. And being blind spiritually means that you don't know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am what? The light of the world. And as long as I'm in the world, I am the light. I am the way. I am the truth. And he said, men love darkness. Because the deeds of evil. They can't stand light. And we're living in a dark world. We're living in a dark world, sisters and brothers. I'm telling you the truth. We're living in a dark world. You got church folks living in darkness. You got preachers living in darkness. You got deacons living in darkness. You got young folks living in darkness. Don't know what they're going. Don't know the will of God in their life. Never had a divine relationship through the blood of Christ changing their lives and walking in the newness of life. They don't have love. They don't have mercy. They don't have goodness and compassion. They're just walking and talking big stuff and don't have the power to activate it. Ooh, look at this. This is awesome. You got five things that are miserable. A sinner is miserable without Christ. Poor. Poor in spirit. Poor in attitude. Blind. Blind as a bat. And naked. Spiritually, they're naked. And let me tell you, if you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ at the rapture, because that's where the church is headed, the church is headed for the rapture. The rapture is soon to occur, my friends. This is Brother Bizarre, Watchman on the Wall. I'm telling you like it is. And I'm not going to stop. I'm going to tell it till my head fall off. I'm going to tell it when you get mad or glad. I'm going to tell it to the high, to the low, to the poor, to the rich, to the black, to the white, to the Chinese, to the Japanese, to the Jew. God loves you so much. God loves you so much. God loves you so much that he was willing to give his son up for you to have eternal life, and you want to turn around and think you're going to find another way to get to heaven without getting your sins blotted out, without getting your sins washed away, without getting your soul cleansed, that you can have a brand new robe on when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you know the judgment seat of Christ is for the church, because the church has to stand before the judgment seat. Before we ever enter into the kingdom of God, we got to stop at the judgment seat. And the judgment seat starts at the house of God. Whenever you go into the house of God on this earth, whether you go in Sunday or Monday or two, whenever you go into the house of God and call yourself worshiping God, you are being judged right there. But the final judgment will be when the church will be raptured up to meet Jesus Christ in the air when he calls the church home. Uh-oh, what you say? Go get the scripture where it says that the church going to be raptured. All right, I'm going to do that real quick. Amen. I'm going to take my time this evening. Amen, because I haven't been with you for a good while. You haven't heard me from a good while. And here it goes. It goes like this in the book of what? We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians, a 4th chapter. 4th chapter. Listen what it says. 4th chapter. 15 verse. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. There's two phases of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Two phases. Two phases. The first phase is called the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, the sanctified ones, the ones that have been set aside and set apart from sin by the blood, only by the blood. That's the church that have been washed in the blood. Those are those that have repented, been baptized, and received Christ. Those are the ones that Christ is coming after. He's not coming after Baptist church, Presbyterian church. He's not coming after the Catholic church. He's not coming after no name, the non-denom or name. He's not coming after that. No, 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 no. He's coming after those that have been washed in his blood by faith. By faith. By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We should talk by faith. We should love by faith. Why? Because faith is the thing that you can't see, but yet still you believe God is well pleased with that. So faith saves you by grace, not we ourselves, not by works, lest any man should boast. So salvation is free. You can't pay for it. You can't work for it. You can't jump up and down for it. You can't run for it. You can't talk for it. It's by faith, by accepting what Christ done for you. He became a sin offer for you. He paid for your sin. You can't pay for your sin. You can't pay for your lying, your cheating, your backbiting. So he paid for it, and by him paying for it, he wants you to come to him in humbleness and repentance of sin and say, Lord, I'm a low-down sinner, and I need you right now. And the Lord loves you so much. If you a real heart, if you got a real heart and you got a real mind and you real in your faith and you real in your walk and you're tired of sin, you're tired of living the way you living, you're tired, you're just plain tired. It ain't doing nothing for you just to live your own life. And you said you telling the Lord, Lord, I want a new life. And the only new life you can receive is through Christ. When you receive Christ, you become his child. So when Christ comes after the church, he's not coming after the denominations. He's not coming after occults. He's not coming after the big rich folks. He's not coming after them. He's coming after those that have accepted him with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul. And he's going to do what? Let's see what the Bible says. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, the first phase, the rapture, let's see how far it goes, the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with what? A shout, and the voices of the archangels, and with the trump of God, and the what? The dead, what? In Christ, those that died saved. Those that died in the blood, those that received Christ while they were alive. The dead in Christ, what? Shall rise first. And we which are alive, that's me, that's you. If you saved, you're alive. You're walking around. You trusted in Jesus Christ. You know him in the pardon of your sins. You're testifying of him. You're thanking him. You glorify him. You love him. You're not ashamed of him. Amen. I'm talking about born again believer. You ain't scared to talk about him. Guess what? And we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in what? The clouds. To do what? Meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, the saints should be talking about this. The saints of God be saying, Lord, when is Lord coming? Lord, he may come today, but that don't mean you sit down and wait for him at the bus station. No, don't go on top of the mountain with a white gown on and think you're going to be caught up. No, that means occupied till it come. But in your spirit, in your mind, you're looking for him to come. The rapture is the first phase of the second coming of Jesus Christ. He removes his body. Whose body? Christ's body. Sanctified body. Glorified body. And those that are in the dead, in the grave, they shall come up, and then we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. When we meet the Lord in the air, that means that we're going to the judgment seat of Christ. We're on our way. I'm on my way to the judgment seat of Christ. That means one day I'm going to be removed from this planet in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. That's going to be so quick that my clothes going to still be standing after I'm gone. It's going to be so quick that the world ain't going to know what done happened within a period of about 14 days. They're going to find out what done happened. And what really done happened, it will be explained, try to be explained away by the Antichrist. Antichrist is going to try to explain it away and make it seem like it has a whole lot to do with UFOs and flying saucers to calm the people down. But that's going to be a lie, because the devil is a lie. He lied from the beginning.
Oh, shoot. Oh, man.